We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam 6th Canto, Chapter 16, entitled King Chitraketu Meets the Lord, Text 37. Every universe is covered by seven layers: earth, water, fire, air, sky, the total energy, and false ego. Each 10 times greater than the previous one. There are innumerable universes besides this one, and although they are unlimitedly large, they move about like atoms in you. Therefore, you are called unlimited Ananta. Purport. The Brahma Samhita 548 says, Yasyaikani swasita kalamata valambya jivanti loma vilaja jagadandanata visnur mahansa ihi yasya kala visesha govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. The origin of the material creation is Mahavishnu, who lies in the causal ocean. While he sleeps in that ocean, millions of universes are generated. As he exhales, they are all annihilated when he inhales. This Mahavishnu is a plenary portion of a portion of Vishnu, Govinda, yasya kala vishesha. The word kala refers to a plenary portion of a plenary portion. From Krishna or Govinda comes Balaram, from Balaram comes Sankarsan, from Sankarsan Narayan, from Narayan the second Sankarsan, from the second Sankarsan Mahavishnu, from Mahavishnu Garbhodaksaya Vishnu, from Garbhodaksaya Vishnu, Kshiradaksaya Vishnu. Kshiradaksaya Vishnu controls every universe. This gives an idea of the meaning of Ananta, unlimited. What is to be said of the unlimited potency and existence of the Lord? This verse describes the coverings of the universe. Saptabir dasagunatare andakosa. The first covering is earth, the second is water, the third is fire, the fourth is air, the fifth is sky, the sixth is the total material energy, and the seventh is the false ego. Beginning with the covering of earth, each covering is 10 times greater than the previous one. Thus we can only imagine how great each universe is, and there are many millions of universes, as confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita. Atava bahunaite na kim gyatena tava arjuna vista byaham idam kritsnam ekam sten stito dagat. But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. The entire material world manifests only 1/4 of the Supreme Lord's energy. Therefore, he is called Ananta. Om Agyanati Manandasya Gyanandana Salakaya Shakshurun Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sivisakan Vitamscha He Krishna Guru Nasindha Dina Bandho Jagatpate Upesa Gopi Kakanta Radhaman Namostute Tapta Kansana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Visavanu Sutta Devi Vanamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Trubhyacha Sakripa Sindhumyevacha Patitanam Pananevyo Vaisnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, in these descriptions about the unlimited arrangements of material universes, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we are meditating on Krishna's unlimited nature, Ananta. We are realizing that the material nature is simply finding its origin in the spiritual nature, and that this material nature is a reflection of the eternal spiritual nature. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains, Aham sarvasya prabhava mata sarvam pravartate iti mata bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. One who understands this unlimited nature of the spiritual and material energies, which all have their origin in me, Buddha, such a person who is in that understanding, Buddha bhava samanvita, he becomes overwhelmed by ecstatic feelings, by a natural attraction to Krishna, and serves him in this way with great devotion. That is truly the reason why Krishna is manifesting these unlimited opulences. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Krishna is described in the opening words as Akila Rasamrita Murti. Akila means complete, and Rasamrita, the one who is manifesting all the different nectarian tastes and mellows, and who is the personification of that. So therefore, all these manifestations of Krishna are simply to increase the pleasure of all the living beings, and his own pleasure as well. Krishna is churning the ocean of transcendental pleasure. And that is the purpose of manifesting all these universes with all their unlimited different manifestations. Modern science is spending its time studying the details within the universe, and they go further and further within the detail, more and more. And by now we understand how just one cell in the body is so complex, and they are going quite far in their descriptions of the cell. They describe that there are little particles which have propellers on the back and which can very quickly accelerate at such an incredible speed that there is no machine in this world that can match that kind of acceleration. So man is looking in awe at the universe of a cell within the body. The complexity of that cell is so great, it's like a whole cosmos in itself, little microcosmos. So in this way, the complexities of the creation are just way beyond the intelligence of man, way beyond what we can ever understand and analyze. And the more we try to go into detail, the more and more we become bewildered. Scientists are constantly adjusting their theories. Is light made up out of beams or out of particles? Right. Some said beams, some said particles, then they say both. It becomes more and more complicated. And in the end, we can simply marvel at the amazing opulence of Krishna. There is no limit to it. The species that exist and how they function, it is just overwhelming and amazing. In short, Krishna's unlimited energy shows his unlimited variety. And just in this world, there are so many different experiences, so many different tastes, so many different things just to see for the eyes. And through all the sensual perceptions, we can get such a variety of experiences. Of course, in this world, sukha dukkha da, both happiness and pleasure will be experienced. But the purpose of suffering in this world is also to bring us closer to Krishna. And is therefore also meant to increase the happiness. Ultimately, everything is meant for that purpose. Because the all-pervading Supreme Lord is all good, and His purpose is all good. And therefore, He has no other interest than the happiness of all living beings. He is Suridam Sarvadeinam. And that is His only interest. In this way, we are looking upon this unlimited material energy. And we see both the beauty and both the suffering. Sometimes I was thinking of a beautiful lawn and how it sort of stands as a symbol for enjoyment, a place for picnic, a place where one can sit and everything very pleasant. Peaceful bees humming, butterflies and birds chirping in beautiful musical arrangements, sun rays nice and warm and pleasant, and so on and so on. Beautiful colors and whatnot. That's one perspective. But if for a moment we imagine ourselves to become smaller, then we see that within this grass, the grass itself is like a jungle where different living beings are dressed up like tanks and they are walking around and one walks off with the leg of another. So that peaceful grass is actually Kurukshetra, if you look at it from a mini perspective. In this way, simultaneously in this world, we see happiness and distress, and it's so difficult to separate. Therefore, pure happiness does not exist on the material plane. It is always mixed. As Srila Prabhupada said, there is always sand in the sweet rice. So thus, we are not becoming overly enamored by all the varieties of enjoyment within the material world. And we remember, Dukaliam Ashashvatam, that this material world is a place, it is temporary and full of misery. Still, the jnani is more concerned with that aspect, that this material world is temporary and full of misery. The devotee is seeing behind this material world Krishna, and therefore he sees everywhere Krishna. Because the creation tells something about the creator. Just as, for example, human beings have made so many things, like, for example, a car. And a car says a lot about human beings. It has eyes, it has a nose, it has a place where you put the petrol, where you put the fuel, it has a tank, it has an exhaust, it has a nerve system in electric wiring, it has veins in the forms of tubes, right? I mean, there are so many similarities, actually, that it tells a lot about its maker. It tells a lot. Because it's fully relating to the senses of the of its maker. It's serving those senses, and therefore it's an extension of the senses. So this material world is also revealing something about the nature of Krishna. And this is interesting to the devotee. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that if you see beauty within this world, then know it to be the smile of Krishna. And I always found that a very encouraging thing to read. Because if I have to look at the material world as only Dukaliam Ashashvatam, as a temporary place full of misery, and then I have to make the use of a bad bargain and so on and try and engage whatever I can of this miserable material energy with my miserable material body in the service of Krishna, then that's very nice, but because of the service to Krishna. But when I read in Bhagavatam that beauty in this world is the smile of Krishna, then I can also see that something of the spiritual nature of Krishna is coming through in this material energy. And that the smile of Krishna is welcoming me. Is welcoming me to a smile is a welcome. Yeah. For something, you know, either we welcome you or we welcome your money, but a smile is a welcome. It is a welcome, it's a sign of welcome. So Krishna's smile is welcoming us to the spiritual world. Welcome. Therefore, we do not have to just walk around in this world in the same mood as the jnanis, who have to just constantly reject in all reactions. Beauty, it's illusion, enjoyment, it's just simply an enticement of Maya, and just in this way we have to reject. And we just get into this mode of rejection, and day by day we become harder in our renunciation and more determined like a rock. And within we are alone. Within we are not fulfilled. Within we are empty. And so therefore the smile of Krishna found in the beauty of this world, meaning that we can actually appreciate. We can appreciate the rays of the morning sun. We can appreciate the beauty in this world. And not just write it off as Maya, because we can understand it is the reflection of the spiritual world, which is still unlimitedly greater and unlimitedly more beautiful. Just imagine, if this is already, the reflection alone is that impressive. It's promising. And thus, a Vaishnava can be in this world and simultaneously have a spirit of renunciation, a spirit of not becoming under the influence of the material energy and trying to enjoy the material body. He can say no. No, I go for a higher goal in life, and at the same time, he can be soft-hearted. He can be soft-hearted, and he can be open. He doesn't need to close himself off, right? No, this illusion will not enter. I will not see it. I will not hear it. I will not register it. No, a Vaishnava can actually register. Nice. Beautiful. How wonderful is Krishna? How wonderful is Krishna? Of course, that step is always there. A Vaishnava will not get lost in the beauty of the object. Just in Lilamrita, it is described how in the early ISKCON days, the matchless gift storefront had an outing to Dr. Mishra's country ashram, and they were sleeping outside, which for New Yorkers was like, I guess, an enormous experience, something extraordinary. And Hayagriva describes he was sleeping outside, and when he saw the early morning sunrise and the red in the sky, it was as if an artist from his palette had painted the sky with his brush with different streaks and so on. And he was reveling all on and on about the beauty of that sky. And Prabhupada said, we are not so interested in the beauty of the sky. We are more interested in the beauty of the maker. So it is true. We are seeing the beauty and appreciating that it's reflecting Krishna's unlimited beauty. And in that way, Krishna's unlimited, wonderful qualities. It is also specifically, it is revealing something about the nature of Krishna. Not only Krishna's beauty, but it also it is a manifestation of Krishna's concern for all the living beings. And that is a very enlivening meditation. One thing that I like a lot is that when the living being turned away from Krishna and came to the material world, there he was. And Krishna, of course, accompanied him like as the super soul within the heart and is always trying to bring him back. But we can see that the Supreme Lord was still thinking that, but what to do now that they have turned away from me, these jivas, what can I do for them? How can I give them some mercy? Krishna desired to give them some mercy. Then, as Krishna was thinking of some mercy, he was thinking, why some? Why will I give them some mercy? I will give them all the mercy. And what he did, instead of manifesting some elements of the spiritual world, he put the entire spiritual world in the material world, which meant, I'll give them all the mercy. That's Krishna. So when I think about that, then I think, see, the nature of Krishna's mercy. It is so great that it cannot satisfy him to just give a little. He has to give everything. He gives everything. He completely gives everything he has. And that's something that sort of appeals to my heart. It makes Krishna very wonderful. And it makes, when I think of how wonderful Krishna is, and then I see it in that context, all these universes, all these different layers, and all these expansions, etc., all a manifestation of Krishna's unlimited mercy, then it all becomes something very inspiring, something where you say, yes, this merciful Krishna, surely he will even be merciful to me, although I'm not doing very well, I know. The years are going by and still not progressing, so what to do? Haven't changed a bit. Stubborn as ever. Still, and so on and so on. But contemplating on that mercy, it gives me hope. And hope is the one thing that will give us strength to do impossible things. Even when we are not qualified. Because when we are not qualified, then sometimes you think, maybe I should give up. Yes, maybe I should give up. But when there's hope that we will be successful, that the sacrifice is worth it, even although we are not doing such a good sacrifice, then we can keep it up. And on that note, I am trying to end, because this lecture is supposed to be like finished at 8:30 and not one second more, and everyone, or I will be shot, and I'm allergic to that. Just can't say. Pragosh, we go just a minute. I just want to also invite Big Brother or our electronic audience to partake in the whole thing. Any questions from out there? You're in queue. Pragosh is in queue. He's not used to it. but you're also most welcome to put your question. Yes, Pragosh.
Nice last words. I was just thinking, you said that the beauty of the material world. Krishna's smile. Krishna's smile, of course, is something that's very nice to get attached to. We also hear references in Bhagavatam that even if we're attached to the rising and setting of the sun, we must come back to the material world. So the answer is that if we see that separate from Krishna, we come back. If we see that coming from Krishna, it's clearer.
Good. Thank you. That's very good. I'm impressed. Well, you know, all this attachment to the material energy, I think the best cure is to simply become preoccupied with engaging the material energy in the service of Krishna. And once you start doing it, you get so entangled in the cause of trying to engage the material energy of Krishna that you have no time anymore for sense gratification, all those things, right? And that's how it works. That was Srila Prabhupada's trick. He saw how attached we were to the material energy, and thus, instead of engaging us in chanting all the time, he just engaged us in using the material energy in Krishna's service. And since that time, life has become so complicated that we can never finish our service, and there's absolutely no time for Maya anymore. So this works. So the sunsets, you know, again, forgot another Gayatri at sunset, you know, because we were so busy, right, with managing the material energy. Maharaj, please. It's a portable mic. Shall I pass it on?
I think I can talk loud enough.
Well, you can. Americans generally have that shakti. Americans generally have that power.
That's why they're American. According to Narada Muni, our main problem is that we come here to lord it over material nature. That is the cause of our forgetfulness of Krishna. And as soon as we utilize things in Krishna's service, that's the cause of our remembering Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
And our whole idea is to remember Krishna. And then we're not in the real world anymore, and we'll see it as a spiritual world.
Ask Maharaj to repeat.
It was a comment.
Another question.
We can't hear it on the internet.
Okay. We'll try and adjust to the internet. it takes time to adjust to the internet. I still haven't managed, but ever since the internet was invented, I don't know what happened to my life. I'm still adjusting. I thought what if ISKCON would one day decide to have no more email, to just not work by email? If we all together would make a vow not to work by email, I would vote for that. I would make that proposal.
I will
to the GBC body. That would be really good. I'll send it by an envelope, a stamp, and everything, you know. Yes, Krishna.
Maharaj, in one hand we have the material energy being Deviesha Gunamai divine. Divine means beautiful. Am I correct?
Yeah, sounds correct.
Okay, and you know, though Lord Krishna says it's, you know, it's divine but complicated and very difficult to overcome. But then on the other hand, Asashvatam, the Kalayan, suffering.
Chapter 11.
Yeah, we need to understand that he's a divine, beautiful.
Well, he's also ugly.
So what is...
In the material, he just also shows an ugly feature.
What I'm saying, you know, it's where is this unhappiness coming from us or from the... Because, you know, the simple people, they're very happy.
Yeah.
In contact with his material.
Yes. 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 The 11th, we're speaking for the viewers, we're speaking about the happiness and the unhappiness in the material world, and is there really such ugliness, because ultimately everything is resting on Krishna's divine energy, and he is as unlimitedly beautiful. So Yes, on the surface, we are seeing happiness and distress. The 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita shows how all the heroes of the battlefield are being crunched by the teeth of the universal form, like potato chips. It's ghastly, right? It's heavy. So this is the ghastly feature of the Lord, and that is there. But because we see behind it the mercy of the Lord, we see that whatever harshness is there in the material world is simply there to rectify our own harsh nature. Therefore we understand it's not at all harshness. It's like Krishna is not deriving great pleasure from all the suffering that the living beings are going through. It is simply due to the fact that they have developed such a harsh nature which causes so much suffering to other living beings that they can only be rectified by suffering. And Krishna himself is suffering, having to see that this medicine is applied. But anyway, what to do? It's not Krishna's desire. So therefore, ultimately, it is all good, all beautiful, if that's the vision of the sages, who see that Krishna's purpose is all good, even in happiness and distress in this material world, like that.
I very often, you know, meet people in the street. They sound very, very happy. And I'm going to say, you know, it's like a preaching
atmosphere. Yeah, well,
So it's appears we are happy,
yeah.
But they're very happy.
They're very happy, but they're usually trying to convince themselves that they are, in great anxiety, trying to constantly do that. And if they, and therefore they don't like us, because, you know, sometimes they tell us, get married or go get a job, right? Because we are a disturbance, because we stand there as a symbol that we are not happy. And that makes them question also. That makes them question their life. And if they're really happy. I saw Shruti Kirti's hand, and it would be very nice if he would add something.
His garden was very small, wasn't a big place when we worked in it. But he said it was his favorite place in the whole world, was that garden, which just had banana trees and rose bushes and of course Tulsi daisies. So he said it was Vrindavan. So Prabhupada sitting in the middle of Los Angeles, he just saw Vrindavan.
Right.
But he would sit there with all his young disciples, and there were just a half a dozen of us. You know, we would wait on his every movement, his every look, his every word. And once he looked up, he was just sitting on a cushion and he looked up and he looked down and he said, so, he said, what color is Krishna? And whenever Prabhupada asked a question, everyone would immediately be filled with anxiety. You have to know the answer. And so after a minute, one devotee raised his hand and he quoted Krishna book and he said, Krishna, he's black, it's like a rain cloud. So we figured, you know, that had to be right because it was quoting Krishna. And Prabhupada just shook his head. He was like, no. And he looked up and he said, Krishna is blue like the sky. And he said, the sky is blue because it's reflecting Krishna's bodily effulgence. So from that time, you look at the sky and what do you see? You see Krishna.
Yeah.
Right. And in fact, that's what we have to do.
Yes.
To see Krishna in everything.
Yes.
And then you see Krishna.
And then we can be happy. And then we don't need to worry about sense gratification at the same time.
And you can enjoy the smell of the flower. Prabhupada smells the flower, the jasmine. And he went, ah, this is Krishna. There's no separation. It's not that you think, oh, this is a flower. But Prabhupada showed us how Krishna is in all these things that are.
Thank you very much. I can't repeat that. It's too long. But in short, Srutta Kirti Prabhu told a story about Prabhupada in his garden, small garden in L.A., which was so nice with different trees, banana trees, so many plants. And Prabhupada saw Vrindavan. He said, this is Vrindavan. He saw Vrindavan. And Srutta Kirti then continued to tell about the sky and what is the color of Krishna, he said. The Prabhupada asked, and everyone in anxiety, and then said, it's the color of Krishna is blue, you know, it's the color of the sky, because the sky reflects the color of Krishna. So in this way, now Srutta Kirti, whenever looking at the sky, is seeing Krishna. And by his mercy, we are also seeing Krishna. And in this way, a Vaishnava can give us Krishna. And that is very nice. Jayananda Maharaj wants to make a final comment, and then the time's up.
That's a wonderful point. Thank you, Maharaj. And Prabhupada also went through...
Should you give him the mic? If you take the mic, then the viewers also get it, and then I don't have to repeat it, and then we can finish in time.
Very short comment, but known to most of us that even Srila Prabhupada was able to see Krishna in extreme situations. For instance, one time on an aeroplane, the Charlie Chaplin movie was on. They used to show the movies to everyone in the old days on the aeroplanes. No choice. Prabhupada was watching and laughing at the Charlie Chaplin movie. So all the devotees are thinking, what are we supposed to do? I thought this was Maya. And Prabhupada's laughing. So eventually they're asking, what, Prabhupada? Were you there, Srutta Kirti? Was that you?
No, just before.
Yeah. Just before you. And Prabhupada, so they asked Prabhupada, Moga was telling the story, they asked Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, oh, he's seeing even in Charlie Chaplin, this is the Hastya Ras, this is Krishna's Hastya Ras being manifested, not by Charlie Chaplin, through Charlie Chaplin. He was seeing all the qualities of a person, not as their qualities, and thus we tend to kind of like and dislike and so on and so forth, but he was seeing Krishna's qualities manifesting through Charlie Chaplin, and how wonderful Krishna is, such a sense of humor that he has. So he was remembering Krishna even in that way. Hare Krishna.
Hare.
Thank you. Jai.